tonight. Make your way, after you said hello to a couple of folks, make your way back to your seat. Hey, let me just say this. It is so good to see you here today. You know, it's that time of year where school's letting out, and by the way, all students, congratulations on a successful year. We congratulate you. Congratulate all the teachers who have survived another year. And so, and really today, if you, I was driving in, you know, this is Memorial Day weekend, and if you think about it, for what it stands for, it's a little bit somber because it really represents a time where we're supposed to be taking a few minutes to reflect on those who gave their life and ultimate sacrifice on the battlefield so that you and I might have freedom. And as I was driving in this morning, I kept thinking about, you know, that's what we're doing as the church today. We're gathering today corporately as the church to spend a little bit of time reflecting on the ultimate victory and battle that Jesus won on the cross of Calvary so that you and I could have freedom. That's a pretty good reason to celebrate, right? And know that a lot of you are going to go on vacation and spend some time out on the road. We got a lot of our folks that are out already doing that. And so here's just one thing from pastor's heart to yours. Let me just encourage you, as you look in the worship folder, you'll kind of look down there in the financial update. There's a phenomenon that happens a lot of times in the summertime that people go on vacation and they take their tithe and their offering with them. Let me just encourage you not to do that, because ministry, while you're on vacation, we're still doing ministry here. We still want to be able to keep the lights on. We still want to be able to do what we do. And so let me just encourage you. As you can kind of see, we have a loss for May, and so we're in the process of getting pretty close to trying to get our refi done. And so we want to be in the most strongest financial position we can for the bank. And so if you haven't tithed, I encourage you to do that and get caught up if you haven't done it in a while. But let me encourage you to do that. And when you go on vacation, have a great time, but leave the Lord's money here if you would. I appreciate that. If you're joining us for the first time this morning, today is the summation of several weeks of a mini message series we've been in called Fellowship. And for the last few weeks, we've been looking at the two most important relationships a person can have: a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others. Being right in relationship with God and being right in relationship with others is what the Bible calls fellowship, or koinonia, which is a mutual partnership where the focus is actually on the other person and there's activity involved in that. And that's what biblical fellowship is defined as. In our brief 4-week survey of the book, the New Testament book of 1 John, it's really right towards the end of the Bible, where John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and there in his isolation, God really spoke to him in some very unique ways. And here we see in this survey that we learn some very important truths from the survey. We've learned that in order to have right fellowship with God and right fellowship with others, there are certain requirements that need to be made. And the very first one is we have to take the focus off of us and begin to orient on Jesus Christ. If we're always focused on me, we will never be focused properly on Him, and that means the fellowship will be damaged. We also have to realize that in order to be in fellowship, we have to own our own condition. We have to admit that we need Jesus. We own our own condition. And the third thing is, you know, when we realize who God is and who we're not, and as we read God's Word, God gives us some helps, if you will, in the Bible to help us stay in fellowship with Him. They're called His commands. The Bible was written by men, inspired by God, written by men, but it's for us. And if we begin to obey His commands, we begin to, one, we're putting Him on the throne, saying, God, You have the right to direct my life, and therefore I'm going to follow Your direction. And so we obey our commands, or His commands, and we also spend time as we walk through life. If we're going to get fellowship right, we really need to take a little bit of time to stop and observe through some consideration just what we sang about. Scripture tells us that while we're sinners, yet sinners. It means we still sin, that while we were yet sinners, that Jesus died on the cross. Jesus paid the price so that we could have fellowship with the Father. In fact, John 14, 6 says, you can't even get to the Father unless you go through Jesus. And that's the crux of Christianity. And so we also learn in the second week, we learn that fellowship is something that Satan doesn't want you to enjoy. He doesn't want you to enjoy relationship with the Father. He doesn't want you to enjoy relationship with others in the body. And so he's going to throw roadblocks in our path all the time. They're just going to just show up. And one of his best tricks, and we see that on sunny weekends. Not that getting away on a weekend is a bad thing, but we oftentimes spend our time away from God because we spend our time on stuff, the temporary. You know, someone once said, you can't send any of that stuff, to heaven. You can't take it with you. And that saddens me because I like my truck. You can't take it with you, but the Scripture, I believe, teaches us that we can send certain things ahead of us, the things that we're going to be judged by. And the things that we're going to be judged by are not the temporary, but the things that we invest in God's kingdom. The stuff that's going to last for eternity, if you think about it, are those things in our investments in the fellowship with God and fellowship with fellow believers. But it's a roadblock, man. Stuff takes our focus away from Jesus. But it's not just that. We also know that there are people, relationships that will take us away from our fellowship with God. And one of the biggest battlegrounds every Sunday morning and throughout the week is right in the body of Christ, that there's trespassers that Satan injects into the body of Christ that are always negative. They're always complaining about the bride of Christ. And we talked about that a little bit. I encourage you again, if you weren't here, go back and listen to these messages and just ask God to show himself in your heart. But we have to face that sometimes. And you can know that when somebody's complaining about Jesus' bride, they're not in right fellowship with God. Amen? And so you probably realize that means if they're not in relationship with him, they're probably going to be out of relationship with the bride and vice versa. And we also know that there's a lot of times that Satan wants, quite frankly, he wants you to have biblical knowledge. Now, that may surprise you. He just doesn't want you to act on that knowledge. And so the roadblock of theology sometimes, and someone said, man, I was shocked to hear my pastor say that you can have too much Bible. But the reality is you can have too much Bible because you can have it all come in and all come in and focus on yourself. But if it's never applied, you're like a big hot air balloon that eventually your head's going to pop. And you're never going to be of use to the kingdom. And so what we do is we study the Scripture. In fact, if you look in Timothy, in 2 Timothy, he says we're to study to show ourselves approved a workman. There's application that's involved. Satan wants you to have knowledge. He just doesn't want you to have application. So he throws those roadblocks. And so last week we talked about, and as a reminder, in order for us to understand fellowship, you just got to spend a few minutes reflecting on what it really is and what it's about. And really, if you think about it, the first thing that you need to do this morning is reflect on whose you are. Who do you belong to? Who's your daddy? Your spiritual daddy? Who do you belong to? And if you don't know that, my prayer for you this morning is that before you walk out those doors, and especially before you walk out those double doors, that you'll be able to answer that question. But we also, as believers in Christ, we have to ask ourselves, what are we about? What are we supposed to be about? We're supposed to be about God's love. We're supposed to be conduits. Again, him and them. We are to be conduits of his love, and we're to be that channel where his love flows out to others. Are you about God's love? We also need to remember, and there's a reality in Christianity that I think sometimes is not often taught, but we have an adversary. We need to remember that and reflect on that. You have an enemy. He doesn't want you to be in relationship with God or others. Just keep that in mind. And half the battle of fellowship is knowing what's coming. And it helps us to recognize that so that we can apply God's strategies to the enemies. And finally, reflect on our assurance. We have the Holy Spirit. that resides in us. If you've said yes to Jesus, that empty space that God created in your heart that only He can fill, when you said yes and opened up your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells you with Christ, and you're able to have that fellowship like no other because you've now entered into a fellowship or a relationship with God. This morning, as we close this, I want to first ask a question that normally I end the service with. So what? So what? Now what? What difference can and does fellowship mean to me, to us? Fantastic question. I'm so glad you asked. Before we answer that question this morning, though, I'm going to ask us to and ask you to pray with me again. And really, I want to ask the Holy Spirit to teach each of us this morning and meet you right where you're at. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome in this place, and I just pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who paid the price so that we could have fellowship, that Father, that right now in a way that only you can, would you just teach us through your word? Would you teach us and prepare us and equip us and help us understand what true biblical fellowship looks like. God, I know there are hurting people here. I know there are struggling people here. I know there are relationships that are in jeopardy. I know those that are looking for answers to life's questions. God, with everything in me, I know that that answer is in the person of Jesus Christ. So, Father, would you reveal him today as we lift him up in Jesus' name? Amen. Let me invite you to turn again in your Bible or turn in your Bible apps to 1 John. We're going to be looking at chapter 5, and we're going to be focusing this morning on verses 4 through 21. So 1 John chapter 5. Go to Revelation, end of your Bible, flip back just a couple of pages, and you'll find 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to kind of focus on 4 through 21. But as you're turning there, let me ask you an interesting question. How many of you, if it were possible, would like to have all your bills paid, retired, and be able to have a great quality of life starting tomorrow? Raise your hand. All right. Well, let me do the follow-up question, which is necessary. It begs to be asked. Don't raise your hands. But how many of you are making the necessary investments to facilitate that goal? You know, in the financial arena, they use certain phrases and terminology, and one of the common phrases is ROI, return on investment. Return on investment. And in that phrase, you will see a truism. You must invest to get a return. Now, I would love to go to any of these financial places and say, oh, there's money in there I didn't know I had. A lot of money. But that ain't going to happen because my money has to be put in there in order to be taken out. Amen? And so we have to understand this truism that in order to reap what we sow, if you will, you have to sow. In order to get a return, you must invest. And the Bible puts it this way. It's the same spiritually. How we invest spiritually will determine how we receive. Here's what the scripture says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 9. It'll be on the screen. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit, and I love this, this is a promise, will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So we must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Now, I don't know a lot about investments because I ain't had a whole lot to invest. But here's what I know. They tell me that the best way to invest is long-term goal in mind. You got to go in thinking if you just dump it in, there's high risk, There's high return, but if you invest for the long term and leave your money and just leave it alone, just keep investing, that eventually, based on statistics and research and all of this, that you will get a great return on your investment. But you got to start by investing. Well, he says at the proper time, if we'll invest, and we invest, it's become part of our life. It's not something that you just do on Sundays. It's part of our routine. It's what we do. If we're investing in our fellowship, friends, let me tell you, the more that you invest in God, I believe the more you're going to experience the return of God. Amen? I just believe that. And in fact, 2 Corinthians, Paul told a church there was struggling. He said, hey, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And here's the promise. And the person who sows generously will also reap generously. And what I love about these two verses is the promise that if we invest, we will always, always, always get a return and always more than we anticipated. Jesus says if you give, it'll come back to you. And not just a little bit. It comes back in so much that it's this picture back in the day when they had the long shirts or the tunics. They would lift it up and it's like just pour it into this space that's created, and there's so much that's being poured in there that it overflows. You can't contain it. And I would suggest to you this morning that there is nothing more valuable is God's return on your investment. God so loves you. He wants to pour His life into you and through you so much that you cannot contain it, but we have to be putting something in. There is something that He requires of us. As we close our survey in John on this topic of fellowship, I want to share with you four returns that I believe 1 John shows us that you can anticipate, that you can go to the bank on, if you will, if you invest in God and you invest in others. First, verses 4 through 5. Whatever has been born of God conquers the world. Now, I want you to underline some words. Conquers the world. This is the victory, underline victory, that has conquered, underline that, the world, our faith. And who is the one who conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I think the first thing that you and I can anticipate and expect is courage in our situation. No matter what your situation is, if you are in fellowship with God and you are in fellowship with others, you can anticipate you are going to get courage and receive courage, whatever your situation. And the key word here is victory. The Bible says this, not Jay, that says, if God be for Jay McFadden, who can be against him? You put your name in there. With man, with Jay, it's impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Can I get a witness to that? I mean, that ought to excite us. And those of us who claim Jesus, we can invest in that, and we can reap that if we'll sow into that. We can have courage no matter what your situation is. We can have victory. Now, there's some situations you're probably in right now and struggling with. You're wondering, how in the world can that work? Listen, God's got all the answers. He sees around the corner and He sees over the hill. He's given us people that when we think we can't go the next mile, somebody, if you're in right fellowship, they come along and say, you can make it, you can do it. And they might even step in and help you carry the burden. In fact, Paul says that that's what we're supposed to do if we're in right fellowship with one another. We're to carry one another's burdens. So we can have victory and courage and say, you know what, I don't know that I can make it. And God's saying, look, I can do anything. And Paul came to the conclusion, he said this, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who what? Strengthens me. He gives me courage. There's been times in my life where I wanted to give up and I thought, man, this Christian thing, it stinks, it's hard, it's difficult. And God will send somebody along in my life who's in fellowship with Him. They're trying to have fellowship with me and they'll encourage me and pray for me. Or I just can't tell you that I could stand here all day and tell you testimony after testimony after testimony how God has used others in my life to bring me courage and give me victory. Paul told the church at Rome, he said, what then are we to say about these things? Here's that verse. If God is for us, who is against us? And he doesn't end there. In verse 37, he goes on to say, in all these things, what are all your things? You put your situation that you're experiencing today, right now, or that you've been in this week that you think you can't overcome. In all these things, we are more than victorious. How? Through him, in fellowship with him who loved us. Friends, if you'll invest in God, he's already invested in you. And he has something waiting for you that you could not even begin to hope or imagine. And our fellowship with him and our fellowship with others gives us courage and victory in our situation. So here's the question. Where are you needing courage and victory in your life today? A relationship that's struggling? An addiction you just can't seem to shake? In your finances? In your health, in direction for your life. Find courage in fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers. He goes on, I love this second return on investment. It's found in verses 6 through 13. And he says, Jesus Christ, he is the one who came by water and blood, not by water only, but by water and by blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies. And I want you to focus on the word testify, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three things, or three, that testify. The Father, he says, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three are in agreement. If we accept the testimony of men, God's testimony is greater, because it is God's testimony that he has given about his Son. Verse 10. Here it is. This is the crux of this next point. The one who believes in the Son of God. Now, when you believe in the Son of God and you said yes, you've opened up the conduit for fellowship. So the one who has fellowship in the Son of God has this testimony within him. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he hadn't believed in the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. This is a truth, and you can take it to the bank. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You cannot experience life as God intended you to have it, and neither can I if we are out of fellowship with God. And the way that we are in fellowship with our Creator is through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the Messiah, the Chosen One. And this is the testimony. The one who has the Son has life. The one who doesn't have the Son does not have life. And I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And he's saying, I'm writing to you already, believers. So to understand, he's writing this. This is applicable to us if you've said yes to Jesus. I'm writing these so that you may know that you have eternal life. Here's the second return on investment. Certainty of your salvation. Certainty of your salvation. You see, if I believe the Word of God, it's not my testimony. It's really what God has testified through his Son, Jesus Christ. He proved his love for you and for me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He invested in us. And we see here that we have this testimony that we can know, that we know, that we know, that we have eternal life. It's what drove Paul to say, you know, if I die, okay, that's is gain. I get all the good out of that, because then I'm really going to be alive. But for me to live is Christ. The only way that a person can say that and live like that is to have certainty about their salvation. If I die tomorrow, I know that I will live tomorrow, and I will live eternally in the arms of Jesus, and I have confidence in this, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, because of the love of God that was displayed by sending his own Son, and by the affirmation that the Scripture talks about, we have this testimony in us that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can know that you know, and the key word here is verification. Do you know that you know that you know? See, the Holy Spirit and the testimony of God will verify that. And oh, by the way, since we're talking about him and them, when you're in fellowship with Him, one of the ways that you can be assured that you know you have relationship with Him and that you're certified and you're ready for heaven, Scripture in this 1 John says you're going to love the brethren. You're going to love the body of Christ. And that love is going to be active. It's not going to just be in word only. And we can verify that we know that we know that we know in three ways. And I believe it's talked about here about the testimony. It's God's integrity. God, it is impossible for God to lie. Amen? And He says, not Jay, but if you'll believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He was raised from the dead and you will confess with your mouth that He is Lord, you will be saved, not might be saved. God's integrity is not in question. And you can go to the bank on that. God's incarnation, His Son, history tells us, whether you're struggling with believing or not, go back and honestly do a survey of history. And Jesus was a real man. Jesus came, He lived, He died, but with certainty also verified He was no longer in the grave. On the third day, Jesus rose again. And then you have God's incarnation, you have God's integrity, but you also have, and this is an important piece here, God's indwelling, His Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but as we're singing, and I'm so grateful for our worship team, amen? And I just had this picture in my mind. It's like the Holy Spirit was just speaking to my heart that Tim and the crew, they were behind the plow of God. And they're just plowing my soul so that when the word gets planted, it'll go down deep enough and reach that rich soil and it will produce its harvest in its time. And we just see this, that the Holy Spirit will continue to speak to us and minister to us. Friends, if you can come under the word of God and worship with the people of God and not hear from God, you probably don't have the Spirit of God. And that needs to change today. Because then you're going to not know what fellowship is really all about with God or with others. See, fellowship, koinonia, gives us certainty of our salvation. So the question is, do you know with certainty that you're secure for eternity? That's the question. What do you need courage and victory in, and are you certain about your eternity? The day I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I'll never forget. The question that was asked that day, honestly, guys, I didn't hear anything the preacher said until the end. The quickening of the Holy Spirit, it was like He was talking to me. And this is, He says, if you don't know that you know that you know, then you can know that you don't know. Now that's kind of a tongue twister. The Holy Spirit began to quicken that, and in my heart I knew that I didn't know for certain that if I died that day that I would wake up in the arms of Jesus. And it was that day that God opened up the heavens. His Holy Spirit quickened my heart. And I said yes, and I became part of the bride of Christ. And from that day forward, I haven't always lived like I should have. But friends, I know this. I'm not scared to die, and I don't want to go today. But if He takes me, I'll be with Him in fellowship face to face based on the integrity of God and the Word of God. So do you know with certainty where you'll spend eternity? Verses 14 through 17. Now this is the confidence we have before Him. Whenever we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked Him for. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin that does not bring death, he should ask, and God will give life to him. To those who commit sin that doesn't bring death, there is a sin that brings death. I'm not saying he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin that does not bring death. Now, that can be very confusing, and we'll talk a little bit about it, unpack it just a little bit. But I think the general consensus, at least while I'm studying in this, with the focus and the template of fellowship over this, is what I see here is communion with our Savior. Communion with our Savior. Communion is really kind of that active communication with God. I am an intimate relationship. It's like sitting down at the dinner table with good friends. We're talking about our life. We're sharing life with one another. And we, you know, sitting around those tables, a lot of times life's problems will get solved. Well, friends, let me tell you, communing with God, it's communing with the Savior. A lot of those times we're getting to hear His heart and His heart for us. He's getting to hear our heart, and He is helping us understand even what to pray for. Paul says that sometimes we don't know what to pray for, and the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. How does that happen? When we're in communion, because he knows our hearts. He knows what we need before we even ask or even question that. But we also see a second aspect to this value of others. We see here he says how to even pray for others. We're caring about so much about people that we don't want them to be living a life that is ultimately going to bring them to spiritual death, that will lead them to eternal separation from God. Now, that kind of heart can only come from His heart. Caring about people enough to pray for them and to do whatever's necessary to help them not be living in sin that will bring death to their life. Here's what I would tell you in our communion, and the key word here is value, I believe. You know, the fact that we're able to burst into His throne room and spend time telling Him what's going on in our lives through prayer is very much a value. It's just Him saying, you know, I value you. And I have this, again, I'm a simpleton when it comes to some of the Scriptures. I confess that. But in my mind, when I think about that, it's kind of like if my grandson shows up and I'm in the middle of something during the week, and my grandson, and I hear him come running down that hall, I'm not going to shut the door. I'm going to open that door and let Noah crawl up in my lap and begin to tell me what's on his mind. And I picture myself, that's the same, that God is not so busy that He doesn't want to have communion with you. He wants you to spend time with you. He wants to hear your heart. He already knows it, but He wants you to talk because He just likes listening. And that's the promises here, I believe, is one is God listens to what's on your heart, but you got to talk to Him. Not only does He listen, though, He answers. Do you believe that? Part of the time, though, we just don't like the answers. We always want yes. But listen, God answers in three ways. Yes, no, and wait. But God listens and God answers. And again, the Scripture shows that. But also this Scripture shows that He gives us proper focus. He helps us. Hey, I get it. But listen, if we're in fellowship with others, hey, brother, so-and-so's struggling or so-and-so, and we begin to pray for them. Now, again, so I don't skip over this. John mentions something that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. He talks about this sin that leads to death. And the death that he's talking about is really this unpardonable sin. He's talking about spiritual death. That there is a sin. I have my own theology. I believe that there is no sin that is unforgivable except that one. And that sin, I believe, is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And here's how I would explain that. That God is trying to get your attention. He's moving through circumstances, through others, through His Word, through activities or whatever. He's trying to get your attention. And basically, you thumb your nose in the face of God and say, you don't exist. Friends, if you tell Him He doesn't exist, He won't exist for you in eternity. He'll say, depart from me. I don't know you. I'm not in fellowship with you. I believe that's the unpardonable sin. But here's the deal. If you're worried about whether you've committed the unpardonable sin, you probably haven't committed it. That means there's still hope for you. That means God's still doing a work in your life trying to get your attention if you're worried about it. And friends, this morning, if you're worried about it this morning, do something about it. Here in a little bit, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to what you've heard. And if you need to say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit's already knocking at the door of your heart, and He's telling you, I want to have a relationship, I want to have fellowship, I want to have koinonia with you, I would encourage you to say, yes, I want that too. Don't reject Him, because we are not promised tomorrow. And if you reject and reject and reject, the Spirit of God and the invitation of God, you will miss out on the fellowship with God. Fellowship facilitates communion with God and with others. He helps us learn how to commune with Him, but also commune and focus on the needs of others. So what are you asking for God in your life and for in the life of others? And finally, verses 18 through 21, I love this return on investment. We know that everyone who's been born of God does not sin, but the one who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know the true one. We, if you said yes to Jesus and you're in fellowship, we are in the true one. That is, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Now somebody says, oh, mean I'll never sin again. No, let me describe it to you how one of my mentors told me. You're not going to quit sinning when you say yes to Jesus. You're just going to quit enjoying it. Amen? Because listen, if He's in you, the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you, He can't handle that. He can't handle sin. And that's why when we sin and do something against the Word of God, we feel that separation from God. But even that is a love letter, says step back into the love, confess that. But we're gonna keep sinning because we're not perfect, we're being perfected. What John is talking about here is we're not going to just keep sinning over and over and over again. And if you can sin and the Holy Spirit not convict you, you are not in fellowship with the Father. And I can guarantee you then those sins often reflect on the outer circle there with others. Here's how the point here is, I believe this final ROI is that, you know, being in fellowship with God and fellowship with others, especially this accountability piece, is that God gives us control over sin. Do you know you don't have to sin? Amen. Do you know that? Do you know that temptation is not sin, but with every temptation, God gives us a way to say no? When you're looking at that computer, you know something? There's an off button on that sucker. Do you know there's doors that you don't have to walk through that are inviting you to come in? There are things that you don't have to look at just because they're displayed. You can say no, but the key word here is veracity, and the word veracity, it's a big word, but it really simply means this, which is covered in here in this scripture. It is devotion to the truth, and Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father. No one's in fellowship with God outside of me. We have to have veracity. But if we'll have in fellowship and we're devoted to the truth, we can have control over sin. Here's some things that I know. Number one, truth. There is a threat to the fellowship. It's called sin. It's real. It's not something that we just imagine. Your sin and my sin are two different things. Could be the same, but for the most part, Satan knows what, you know, hooks you. And so guess what bait he's going to use? He's going to tempt you with that bait, but you can say no. There is a real threat. We need to know that. Based on the Word of God we've already read, there is an adversary. There is a threat. There is someone who's going to try to throw roadblocks. But listen, as a strategist in the military, somebody who was in a war zone and trained for battle, you know, over half the battle is knowing the enemy's tactics. So just know that when you're trying to be in fellowship with God and fellowship with others, there's a threat coming. But there's a second truth. It's called togetherness. Together. You, me, us, together, not alone, we can have control over sin. One of our elders meets with a group of men on a regular basis, and he shares some of the questions they ask. He doesn't share personal stuff, but they have a list of questions that they go down. I think it's a great list. You know, have you looked at anything you shouldn't have looked at? Have you touched something you shouldn't have touched? Have you done something you'd be ashamed of? And the very last question is, did you just lie to me? There's something about accountability that helps us control sin. So, you know, this old Flip Wilson, again, this dates me, so you guys just going to have to Google Flip Wilson. He was a comedian in his day. But he used to have a statement that said this. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He tempted you to do it, but you chose to do it. Now, you and I are free to choose. But you are not free to choose the consequences of your choice. Mull that over a little bit. Key word is veracity. And finally, the word is truth. You got to know what the truth is. And the truth is a person. If you're going to be in fellowship with God and others, because you won't even know how to respond to God and others if you don't know the truth. Fellowship gives us control over sin. So the question I have for you is, do you have control over your sin, or does sin have control over you? Then get in fellowship with God and get in fellowship with others. So go back to the question we started with, so what, now what? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and nobody looking around. And this is probably the most important part of the time that we spend together this morning. We have sang the praises of God. We've basically repeated truth about God. We've heard from the Word of God what His Word wants us to do. But now we have a choice to be the people of God. And this morning, if you don't know for sure that you know for sure that if today were your last day where you would wind up, then I would encourage you this morning to solidify that question, not based on what you do, but simply just tell God in your own words, Jesus, I believe you're who you say you are. This thing that's going on inside of me, this spirit movement, I just have to believe that you're who you say you are, that you really did live, you really did die, you did really did rise again, and you did that because of me. That's how much you love me, and that's what I want to be a part of. I want to say yes to Jesus, and I want to get in right fellowship with God. And as a result, God, then help me be in right fellowship with others. Some of you need to make that decision this morning. Some of us, you're sitting here and say, man, Jay, but you don't know what I'm going through. You're right, but God does. That's who you need to talk to about it. And then let some other people know what's going on and say, pray for me. And then if someone comes to you and says, pray for me, pray for them. Don't just say, I'll pray for you and forget about it. Stop right then. Stop in the hallway. Stop in the hallway of your apartment building, or in the garden of your house, or the front porch, or around the water cooler. Pray for them. Some of us are struggling and we need victory. Jesus is victorious. Some of us need courage. Some of us need control over a sin that we just continue to over and over and over again. But I promise you this, and you know it's true. The reason you're struggling with this is because right now you're out of fellowship with God and you're out of fellowship with others. So here's how you fix that. See, John didn't just leave. In fact, at the very beginning of this whole book, he says, look, okay, I get it. You're going to struggle. But if you do that, if you'll confess your sins, that means the stuff that you didn't do according to God's word, that he will forgive you. And he'll clean you up. You don't have to wear that guilt cloak anymore. Throw it off. He'll forgive you and he'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's what you need to do this morning. So tell him in your own words, God, I am so, so sorry. Here I am again. I messed up. God, help me get my fellowship right with you. Let me be back in communion with you. Let me spend time in your word. Let me spend time in prayer. And God, let me hear from your heart as I share my heart with you, so that I can really work out the certainty through activity, what you want me to do in fellowship with you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord, my Deliverer, in His name, in the power of that majestic name, the one who brings victory over death and over sin, It is in His name, Father, that I pray in the power of Your Holy Spirit right now that You would speak to the hearts of everyone here and everyone that will listen to this at some point later on the podcast. You'll quicken our hearts right now. Not only will You reveal to us what it is You want us to do, it may be something that I have not even mentioned. But God, today we'd not say no, but today we would say yes. God, give courage to do that, whatever that may be, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, here's what we're going to do. Go ahead and stand up. Tim's going to lead us in a response song. Now, there's part of that, there's two parts of that, song and respond. If the Holy Spirit, and only if He's done that, not through anything that I've said, but only simply through the quickening of the Holy Spirit, if God has shown you something that you need to get right, as a step of faith, as a step of obedience, when we begin to sing, I'm going to ask that you step out of your seats and step down into this area and just get before God and do business with Him. You may just want to pray as an individual. You may want to pray as family and friends. But would you just say yes to Jesus and get this relationship right? Because until that happens, all these other peripheral relationships are not going to be what they need to be. You got to get this one right first. And this is a holy time where you can spend time with God. You say, well, that's a little odd. Okay, I get it. But you know what's also odd? That Jesus would leave heaven for a sinner. That's how much He loves you. How much you love Him. Are you willing to just take a step out of your seat and come down? Do what God asks you to do. And I promise you, you'll begin to get returns on your investment. After we sing, and I'll come back up and dismiss us, I have a blessing for you. After we dismiss, you may want to spend some extended time with our elders and their wives and deacons and their wives to pray with you and for you. Well, just as everybody else is leaving, you guys come forward and they'll spend time with you. Just spend some time in communion with God and with others. Do what God asks you to do as we sing.